Romans chapter 8, we've been looking at really the last nine verses of Romans chapter 8. So we're going to start off in verse 31. We'll read down through verse 39, and then we'll get into our text, which is really verse 37, and we'll talk about some of those things. So Romans chapter 8, verse 31. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Father, we thank you for the opportunity that we have to study your word. You preserved it throughout the years and ages that we can have it, handle it, study it, that we can read this information, that we can trust in it and allow it to work in us the way you've designed it to work in us to produce that life that would be well-pleasing to you, and that would be to the praise and honor and glory of your grace. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, one of those things, as you read those last nine verses, you can just read those last nine verses and you, how can you feel bad after that, you know? You know, there's sometimes when you hear things or say things or hear other people or you read something and you're just like, how can I be upset now? And that's really what those nine verses do. You look at that and you think, how could I look at life any differently than what we see here? Now, we've talked about all these things that we have, and you start off in verse 31, if God be for us, who can be against us? That's a great question. And the answer is, who? No one. Put somebody in front of me. They can't be against me. Now, there's some other things that we can get into with that. And the way that he did that is he provided his son. You go down to verse 33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather. And you think about this, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us, which automatically should take us back up where we find out in verse 26 that the Spirit maketh intercession for us. And so then when you get down here, you've also got that Jesus Christ is making intercession for us also. Verse 35, which was my text yesterday, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, or peril, or sword? And then you look at verse 37, he says, nay. So what we talked about last night is none of those things. And what's really interesting is when we get here, he says, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. So that's one of those things that we want to take a look at as we go through here. But I want us to think about something, and Brandon brought this up. We've been given the provision. We have this confidence because of that provision. We should be encouraged by that confidence and that provision to be able to go through life and whatever comes our way. And then we have confidence in whatever issues that come, whether it's tribulation or distress or whatever comes, we should be confident because we're in him. Not because we're doing something or look at the things that I'm doing or anything like that. It's because Christ died for us. He gave his life for us that he can give his life to us. And we've all heard that before, right? And that's where that confidence lies. Confidence lies is in him and who we are in the Son. Amen. And we look at that and think, how can anything, and it's easy. And I know I've had conversations with people. Is it easy to get bogged down in life? The answer is yes. And you think, man, why am I doing that? Well, because that's exactly what we see every single day. We pick our phone up, we go through, we scroll through Facebook or something, and every third thing is an ad, right? Or every fourth thing is an ad. And it's like you're bombarded with out there. And what we need to do, and we looked at it last night, Philippians 4, is get our minds on those things that are just and pure and right. So it's a thinking issue that we have to look at. So now that we come down to this, what we're going to look at this morning is the courage. Now, the courage really has to do with the ability to do something and work through something that may frighten you. It really has to do with strength in the face of pain or just issues of life. And we don't draw it upon ourselves. We draw it from who we are in Christ, and the only place we find that out is in the Scriptures. And so then we talked about that last night. Let's real quick go back over to go to Joshua chapter 1 real quick. And really what this comes from is, you know, you think we've not been given the spirit of fear, right? But of love and of a sound mind. We'll take a look at some of those things here in a little while. But if you think about this, when we're outside of the Scriptures, there's a disorganized thinking that we're dealing with. And that's what the world creates, is this confusion, this disorganized way of thinking, and you're constantly being pulled between this thing and this thing and this thing and this thing, and I got to fight for this and I got to fight for that. And we talked about it yesterday. We're not in a fight. You know, we talk about it all the time. Our battle isn't with flesh and blood, right? And we know that. But it's easy to get caught up in still trying to do that flesh and blood fight. Because this is what we see every day. Notice this real quick in Joshua chapter 1. We're going to take a look at some things here real quick to get us going. Joshua chapter 1. We'll start off here in verse 6. And of course, verse 1, you've got, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying..." We get down to verse 6, and this is right after Moses' death. Verse 6, he tells Joshua, "Be strong and of good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it in the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to that which is to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." Now, you think about what's going on there, and of course, this is right after the death of Moses, right? And he's saying, what you need to do is to be what? Be of good courage and be strong. And notice, what's the issue there? Verse 8 is what? "The book of the law shall not depart from out thy mouth." He's saying, you have my word. My word is going to be the thing that's going to help you be courageous and be strong. Now, he's got along with that there's going to be some things that if you do that, at the end of verse 8, "For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." The best thing about where we are in the dispensation of the grace of God is we've already got that. And that's the point from which we live life. We've already been given all things. We're already prosperous. We already have everything that we need. We already have this good success. And here he's trying to get those things. And the way he does it is, "Here's my word, follow my word, and then these things will happen." We're on the other side thinking, we already have these things, and from that position is where we go and be courageous. It's completely flipped, right? And we see this often as we go through the Scriptures. Notice here in verse 18, drop down to verse 18, and he says it again. Notice, Verse 18, "Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment, and will not hearken unto thy words, in all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death." Notice, "only be strong and of good courage." Now, aren't you glad that if you don't follow God's words today, that he's not putting you to death? Praise the Lord, right? But when we think about those things, that was one of those issues. Jump over to chapter 2. Chapter 2, Joshua chapter 2, verse 11. "And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath." Notice there, "neither did there remain any more courage in any man." Where was their courage? Because they found it in the Scriptures. They found it by what Joshua was preaching. And we get down here and they say what? "We don't have courage in any man anymore." And that's one of those things. We talked about it before, and we go through, and it's easy to you know, hitch your wagon to somebody else's horse type thing and just kind of ride their coattails type stuff. And it's hard for us to kind of separate ourselves because, you know, we all have our favorite, whoever it is, whatever situation it is, whether it's political or spiritual or whatever it is. But where's the courage going to be found is not in man. And that's what we see here. And of course, we understand the context of what's going on there. Go real quick over to 1 Samuel. First Samuel chapter 30. Start off here in verse 1. "And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag, on the third day, and the Amalekites had invaded the south, and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag, and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on in their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captive, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters." Notice, "but David encouraged himself," where? In the Lord his God. Amen. He wasn't looking, he, you know, you think of the situation that he's in. The wives and the children and the daughters and the sons, they're all taken captive. He comes in and he's, "I'm going to be encouraged in the Lord. Situation's what it is. I'm going to be encouraged in the Lord." And you think, when you think about, we know what David's future is going to be. But think about this. He did that not just in light of the situation that he was in, but he also did it without actually having those things that were promised to him as a present possession. He wasn't living in the kingdom. He didn't have all this stuff. And here we are, complete in Christ, and we say, "I want to follow this, that, or the other," whatever it may be. And we get our minds and our thought processes in the wrong direction. And that's why that confusion and the disorganized thinking comes along. And he notice, no matter what, verse 6, "and David was greatly distressed." Have you ever been distressed? I mean, that was one of the things that we read over in Romans chapter 8, verse 35. There's issues that we see in life. For the people spake of stoning him. And again, they're looking to murder this guy. And we know what Paul went through as well. Because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Real quick, jump over to Acts chapter 28. Acts chapter 28. Let's start off in verse 11. Acts 28, verse 11. This is right before Paul gets into Rome. Notice verse 11. After 3 months, we departed in a ship of Alexandria, which had weathered in the isle, whose sign was Castor and Pollux. And landing at Syracuse, we tarried there 3 days. And from thence we fetched a compass and came to Rephesium. And after 1 day, the south wind blew, and we came the next day to Puteoli, where we found brethren and were desired to tarry with them 7 days, and so we went toward Rome. And from thence, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us as far as Appii, Forum, and the three taverns, whom when Paul saw, he thanked God and took courage. Now, what you notice here is what happens. He sees these brothers in Christ, and you remember he talks about the fact that we were comforted with the coming of Titus. And what happens is when we meet together in a situation like this, we should be comforted. We should find courage with one another and encourage one another, right? The purpose of the local assembly is to produce that. And so then that's what Paul says, and he thanked God. And again, we talked about it last night, the thanksgiving. There's some really interesting things about thanksgiving. You go back in the Old Testament, you look at the sacrifices and the things that go along with that. And what's really interesting, I did a search the other day for thank you in the Bible. You know it's not there? So I was like, okay, what about this? Thank thee. You know, every one that I found about thank thee, every one of them is directed toward God. And you know, we get caught up in, you know, thank you for doing this, and we appreciate you doing this, and thank you for doing that. And you know, I've heard this before, and you know, after studying this, I'm like, that's a really good thing. You know, when we start thinking about meeting together, we thank the Lord for you all and your footprint here, because you're living life here, and then you allow us to be a part of that, so we thank you for the ministry that you have here. And you know, wherever we go, there's always these groups of people, and they're doing the work of the ministry, and we thank the Lord for his work in you all. And that's really what it comes down to. And it's really interesting, because when we looked at that thing, and notice here he says he thanked God and took courage. So let's take a look at some things real quick. Let's get a couple passages real quick. Let's go back to 1 Chronicles 26. And also get Isaiah 25. And if you know, there will be a third one, but we'll get there here in a minute. So it almost seems like it's planned, but I promise it wasn't. 1 Chronicles 26. Let's start off here in verse 20. 1 Chronicles chapter 26, verse 20. And of the Levites, Ahijah was over the treasures of the house of God, and over the treasures of the dedicated things. As concerning the sons of Laden, the sons of Gershonite, Laden, chief fathers, even Laden the Gehershonite, were Jehiel. The sons of Jehiel, Zatham, and Joel his brother, which were over the treasures of the house of the Lord, of the Amorites and the Izharites, the Hebronites and the Uzalites, and Shubal, the son of Gershom, the son of Moses, was the ruler of the treasures. Now, notice these treasures of the house are from various groups of people, right? Verse 25, and his brethren, Eleazar, Rehabiah, his son, and Josiah, his son, and Joram, his son, and Zikri, his son, and Shalomith, his son, with Shalomith, and his brethren were over all the treasures of the dedicated things, which David the king and the chief fathers, the captains over thousands and hundreds, and the captains of the host had dedicated. Out of the spoils won in battles, did they dedicate to maintain the house of the Lord. Now, you notice there's all these things that they've gathered from these other groups of people that they've gone in and fought, and you know that saying, to the victor goes the spoils, right? And so then what we see here is that's what they're doing. It's almost like they're taking inventory. Here's all the things that we've got from these people, and here's all the things we got from these people because they conquered them. And here's all the stuff that we have. Notice over in Isaiah 25, and these are just a couple of the examples, and there's a lot that you could get to. These are just a couple of the examples that I wanted to bring out. Isaiah 25. Verse 8. He'll swallow up death in victory. Does that remind you of a verse? 1 Corinthians 15. He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall take away from off all the earth, for the Lord hath spoken it. And it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord, we have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. For this mountain shall be the hand of the Lord rest, and Moab shall be trodden down under him, even as straw is trodden down from the dunghill. And he shall spread forth his hands in the midst of them, as he that swimmeth spreads forth his hands to swim, and he shall bring down their pride together with the spoils of their hands. And the fortress of the high fort of thy walls shall he bring down, lay low, and bring the ground even to the dust. When you think about that, you kind of think of Daniel when he's talking about that image. What happens is there's this kingdom that's going to come, and it's going to destroy all the kingdoms. And you think, we understand that there's some things, which is going to get to the next verse we're looking at, but there's these spoils. What is it that when God comes down and he destroys all those kingdoms, what's he going to do is he's going to set up his own kingdom. And the interesting thing about that is there anything out of there that he's going to want to keep? No. Notice this real quick. Go over to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. And this is really interesting. Notice in verse 8... Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. Now you stop there for just a second. You think about. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. That's that other system that we were talking about yesterday, that Satan has set up this false system and the course of the world and all that stuff that we were talking about yesterday. What's it say? If you get caught up in those things, what's it going to do? It's going to spoil you. And he says, beware lest any man spoil you through these things. Notice in verse 9, "For in Him," talking about Christ, "dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in Him, which is the head of the principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. We're buried with Him, we're risen with Him, we're dead with Him. He's forgiven us of all trespasses." Notice in verse 15, "And having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it." And we talk about those things, we say, we know that those positions of rank and authority one day, that we're going to go and have those positions of rank and authority. That's the spoils that we're going to get. And God's going to reclaim all those same positions here on the earth. And we understand that. And what God's done through that cross, and that's what He's talking about in verse 14, "And having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show of them openly." We talk about this a lot of times. What caused Satan's fall was pride. What's a prideful person? What's the last thing that a prideful person wants to be known? The place that they fail. And to be reminded of it every single day. And to be reminded that your time is limited, both in heaven and on earth. And so then when we think about those things, go back over real quick to Romans chapter 8. So then when we think about what all the things that we have in Christ, and that was part of it. And it, to me, it's really interesting. When we come back over to Romans chapter 8, in the context where we were, verses 31 through 39, Paul gives us a lot of things, and it's really good questions. And it's really interesting if you ever go through and you read Paul's epistles and think about this, the way that he teaches is he's asking questions. There's questions. And the good thing is he gives us the answers. And we looked at it yesterday, verse 35, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay." So, are those things going to separate us? They shouldn't. He says no. Sometimes we allow it in our life to move us off where we should be. But are we separated from the love of Christ? The answer is no. Notice, but we can walk as if we don't have that love. And so what he says here, and this is a really interesting thing. He says, "Nay, in all these things," what's the things there is the tribulation, distress. We talked about that a second ago, persecution, famine. All these things, no matter what comes, he says what? "We are more than conquerors." Now, I got to thinking about that, and Charlie and I, we were talking about this the other night, and he asked me the question. It's a good Pauline type of strategy, right? What do you think it means to be more than conquerors? We know what it means to be a conqueror, right? We've looked at the verses where you got the spoils, to the victor go the spoils, right? We have these things as a present possession. We know that we're going to take those positions of rank and authority. We know that we are conquerors. Not because we've done anything. How many of you all have actually fought to gain a position in heaven? None of us have. Christ did that for us. And he said, what I'm going to do to glorify the Father's plan is I'm going to include you in what we're doing. And what's really interesting is not only are we conquerors, but he says here we're more than conquerors. Question. If there is nothing that can separate you from the love of Christ, and we know that we're conquerors, being more than a conqueror would have to be, you are not conquerable. You cannot be conquered. You've won it all. The battle's over. We shouldn't allow things to move us out of that because we cannot be conquered. It can't be taken away from us. He lays it out there for us as we go down through the verses. If God be for us, who can be against us? Nobody. We can't be conquered. You think about that. How did he do that? Well, he spared not his own son, but did what? Delivered him up. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? You have everything you need. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Nobody can. God's the one that justified you. And that should make us remind ourselves of Romans chapter 3, where he says he is the just and the justifier. He's the one that's running it. He's on our side. He's already won the battle for us. And he's saying, come and enjoy the spoils. And none of those spoils can be taken from you. So then when you're thinking, you go down through here. Who is he that condemneth? It's a good question. It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. The Spirit and the Son are interceding on our behalf. And Charlie did a wonderful job talking about that last night. Again, we have the Godhead on our side. Or I should say, they've allowed us to be a part of what they're doing. And because we're a part of what they're doing, and they can't be conquered. And, you know, Charlie said this the other day about the fact that if we're able to be separated from Christ, then or from the love of Christ, then he would have to be separated from the Father again and then forsaken. Well, it's the same idea when you think about this. For us to be conquered, God would have to be conquered. And guess what? He can't be. He won't be. And because of him, and we're in him, we're not able to be conquered. So it's not just that we're conquerors. That's wonderful. But we're more than that. We have these positions that are waiting on us, and God's saying, I've already got everything figured out what I'm going to do with the heavens and the earth. And because you're in my Son, you're now part of something to glorify what my Son did. And the Son says, praise the Lord, I want to glorify the Father's plan. And the Holy Spirit comes down and says, let's write some verses and remind some folks about what we're doing and that they get to be a part of it if they choose to. And that's what we see here. So when we think about this, we are in a fight. There is some things that we need to find out. You know, for me personally, when I first got saved, I didn't know that I was made the righteousness of God in Him. I didn't know that. And you know, Brandon mentioned it earlier, and we talked about it yesterday. You can't teach what you don't know. You can't preach what you don't know. More importantly, you can't live what you don't know. And so then, you know, I've always put it this way. It's as if God's bank account, we'll use this one. If I tell you that I've put $1,000 in everybody's bank account, it's not possible, by the way. Don't get your hopes up. But if I said, I put $1,000 in your bank account, and you said, I hear what you're saying, but I just don't know if I believe that. And I'm like, okay, well, here's this statement, this bank statement. Right here, it's written down. You have $1,000 in your bank account. You're like, yeah, I believe that, but I don't know. You have access to that $1,000 all your life. But it's when you say, I'm going to go and use that because I know it's there, I believe it's there, and I'm going to go get it and use it. It's the same thing, you know, and we've mentioned this before. Everybody who is in Christ has everything we need, whether they know it or not. And they have access to it because they've got the same Bible that we do. They've got the PIN number to get to the account. But it's not used. Sometimes because they don't know it. Their bank statement got lost in the mail, whatever it is. It's still there. They just don't know that it exists. And so that's one of those things that I always think about there. So when you're thinking about being a conqueror, we're in this battle. We know that. But the good part is he's already won. God's already won. And he's saying, come be a part of being more than a conqueror. So there's a few things that I want us to think about here real quick. When we talk about courage, the thing that we start off with is what? It's the ability to do something that maybe frightens you, or you see something and you're like, I just don't know if I can. And courage is, let's just move forward. Some people may think of it as stupidity. You're going to do it. But it's courage. Because it's not in us. It's who we are in him. And courage is doing what's right in spite of your fear. You look at a situation and you're fearful of whatever's going to happen, and you say, I know some verses, let's move forward. Let's just keep going. So let's take a look at this real quick. Go over real quick to Ephesians chapter 4. And I don't know if we'll have enough time to flesh all this out, but Ephesians chapter 4. There's a principle that we have in Scripture, specifically Paul's epistles, the putting off and the putting on, right? And what we need to get to the point to be able to do is we have to take fear, displace that, get rid of it, but we have to displace it or get rid of it by something or someone that is bigger than us, that is stronger than us. And that's one of the things that we see here. We see this principle here in Ephesians 4, and there's other places as well. But in Ephesians 4, let's start off in verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. You know, you think back Ecclesiastes, you read chapter 1 and you're like, apparently their favorite word was vanity, because that's what it was. Vanity, vanity, all is vanity. You look at the world and you're like, he's right. It is vain. What's not vain is the Scriptures. And if we get caught up in the vanity, we've moved our minds off where we needed to be. Notice. Verse 18, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. You look at that, and there's six things there, and at any moment in time, you can come across somebody's life, and they're in some of those things. You see, TV, Facebook, radio, Snapchat, Twitter, all that stuff. That's what that stuff is. You see that stuff all over the place. That's the vanity. Verse 20, and he's talking to saved folks here. He says, but ye have not so learned Christ. You notice that the interesting thing there, verse 18, the Gentiles, the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, right? Through the ignorance that's in them, the blindness of their heart, being past feeling. But verse 20 says, but ye have not so learned Christ. That means we've got to learn some things. Notice, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. Have we heard him? We have. Every time somebody stands up here, every time we get our Bible open and read it in the mornings or afternoons or evenings or whatever it is, we learn from him. We heard him. Verse 22. That ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That's Romans chapter 12, right? That's the daily renewing of our mind. That means we have to daily get in this book, and choose not to turn on whatever it is we want to watch or do. Should I finish? Is that the...
That's your wrap-up signal.
Oh, man. There's a wrap-up signal? I don't know what to do all of a sudden. It really is. Had I known before, I could have planned for it. Anyway, that's all right. I appreciate that, though. But notice, verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man. And it's this issue of not just, I see this thing in my life, I'm just going to quit doing it. And I'm going to try my best to not do it ever again. Man, that looks good. No, I shouldn't do that. It's, I'm seeing this, get rid of it, put this on. I replace it. And that's the issue. What it comes down to is, I don't want this anymore because that's not who I am in Christ, but this over here is, and it's an exchange. And I'm replacing fear with courage. I'm replacing doubt with faith, whatever it is. So there's something I was going to do, and I've never really done this before, but I'll give this to you because it is time to wrap up. Replace fear with faith, the equipping, the action of the Holy Spirit working in and through us, and the reasoning, the power and love and the sound mind. So replace fear with those four things. I don't normally do a thing like that, but I was like, that'd be a good way to finish up. But the issue is, be of good courage. Encourage one another that you're more than a conqueror. Nothing can separate you. Nothing can get us out of who we are in Christ. Stick with it. Get in the verses. Believe the verses. Live the verses. And don't let other things move us off away from who we are in Christ, because you've got it all. We're lacking nothing. We don't strive to get stuff. We've got stuff already. Now let's get to work. Father, we thank you for the opportunity again that we have to study your word. As we take a look at this information, may we each go back and study some things out for ourselves to find out whether these things be so. And that personal Bible study, that we can come to a greater knowledge and understanding and appreciation of your word, that we through patience come to the scriptures might have hope. We thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. And we thank you most of all for Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.